Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, we do want to face the issues. When we talk about facing issues, we're not talking about just biblical issues or spiritual issues or theological issues. We're talking about from a biblical worldview, looking at the issues that face all of humanity. Each and every one of us, regardless of our socioeconomic position, our ethnic background, our status in life, we will face issues. Now, some of them refer to them as political issues. Some refer to them as issues that perhaps you'd call moral or ethical issues. But they're all biblical issues from a biblical worldview. And when we face an issue, we need to face it from the standpoint of knowing what the Word of God says. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus declared in John 17:17, his position on the Scripture. He says, "Thy word is truth." So we seek answers in life. We need to seek wisdom from God. And wisdom from God comes through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We call it the Bible, the Word of God. So may I remind us that we are in a society today that we're in a deep quagmire with a variety of issues. But right now we're in the, how would you say, the last cycle of election campaign nationally. We have a number of campaigns that will be resolved and settled with our candidates on August the 30th in the Republican primary. We've got a number that will, the decision will be made based on how we the people vote by August the 30th. And by the way, if you're not familiar with it, early voting has already started in Duval County. Started this past Monday on the 15th. It will go through the 28th, and then on the 30th is Election Day. And so I encourage you to pray and prayerfully consider how you're going to vote. Don't walk into that voting booth without doing the vetting of the candidates and understand how our candidates stand, what their positions are, and most of all, what I suggest that we attempt to do as Christians in society, wanting a moral, ethical, palatable government that is for we the people, all the people for the people and by the people, that as much as humanly possible, we seek Christian candidates running for office. I am thankful that we have a number of candidates that are running for office that are Christians on a national, statewide, and local level. And I say that we need to, even with those, vet them and determine the ones that we feel would better carry out the task that God would have done on a statewide, local level. May I remind you that this is a listener participation program. You can participate in the dialogue and the discussion by calling 904-401-1413. The local number is 401-1413. If you're out of the area, that 904, it's 904-401-1413. Be delighted to have your input and discussion. Before we start the interview, our guest today that we're going to talk with and have open mic dialogue and prayerfully your call-in consideration and questions, we have Brother Don Redmond. He is running for the legislative seat, House seat number 12, District 12. And in a moment, we're going to talk with Don about some issues, his passion on some of these issues, and how he stands on these issues, and what he would do in Tallahassee representing we, the people. Before we do that, let me invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 1201 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. It's exactly 1 mile south of I-295. Worship service is at 10:45 on Sunday morning, 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, and 7 p.m. for our fellowship meal and Bible question and answer and Bible study time midweek on Wednesday. We have Sunday morning at 9:30, the Bible study program. We call it Sunday school. Most churches refer to it as Sunday school. Some look at that as being for children or for a child. Sunday school or Bible study is for all of us, regardless of our age. There's no such thing as being mature and past the point of needing to do individualized group study in the Word of God. So may I give you an open invitation. Be delighted to meet you as our listening audience, as one of our special guests, and in one of our worship services this Sunday. Looking forward to having you as our guest. Again, we have with us today, before the mic, we have Brother Don Redmond. Don's married to Debbie, his wife of 29 years, 5 children and 12 grandchildren. I think that is commendable when you see a couple, a married couple, that the Lord has allowed to love each other, care for each other, and take care of a family, and have such a wonderful heritage as we find in Don Redmond. Small business owner for 40-plus years, military veteran, 6 years service in the Navy, former city councilman, District 4 for 8 years in our city, chairman of the Area School Advisory Committee for 20-plus years, on the Mayor's Fitness and Well-Being Committee for 18-plus years. May I just insert this before we ask Don any questions today? And the purpose for this interview, by the way, is so that you, our listener, will be able to better know who our candidates are, that you'll be able to understand Don's position and how he stands on many of these very, very, very important issues that's facing our society today from a state level. But when Don was serving as city councilman, and I can tell you because I'm pretty familiar with what happens in city council meetings and the committee and subcommittee meetings and what takes place in relationship to the discussion and the dialogue and the input from the citizens about bills and about legislative process. And I can tell you when there were issues facing our city, moral issues, issues that will be confronting our city for the next generation, Brother Don stood when others buckled on very vital moral issues facing the city of Jacksonville. So I can commend him for doing that. And I can say without any equivocation, Don is a man that loves the Lord, has moral, ethical positions and commitments and passion for the truth. And in the realm of government, wanting to see some things take place that would benefit our city and our state. Don, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here with us. Welcome to the microphone today. And as we have dialogue together, let me just allow you to do most of the talking. I'm going to simply be the listener and kind of prompting some of the questions and what we need to think on. What are some of the things, Don, that you see as statewide issues that you want to change, fix, or to in some way deal with?
Well, thank you, Brother Gene, for allowing me to be here today. I appreciate your stand and your involvement in our city government as well, and state government, and your concerns for godly heritage for our country. Mm-hmm. One of the major issues that is the issue with transgenders or homosexuals of any kind wanting to use. Males wanting to use female bathrooms, or as far as that goes, the other way around. I would propose legislation to not allow that.
For the whole state,
I agree.
It's time that we stop this hodgepodge checkerboard approach across the state, with each county having to do battle and spend taxpayers' dollars trying to protect our mothers and our grandmothers and our sons and our daughters in relationship to that. I think it's absolutely asinine for any community or any state to think that somehow, some way, that we can open the bathrooms. If you're listening today and you wonder about the outcome and the effect that it has, just look at what's happened with Target stores. Target stores has had 26 suits filed against them since April of this year because of women and girls in their bathrooms, their locker rooms, and their change rooms, their dressing rooms, having the perverts, the pedophiles, the transsexuals walk in and try to videotape them in undressed, all stages of dress and undress, try to slip cameras under the stalls and photograph them in their undress or dressed in all stages in the bathrooms. And as a result of it, just reading an article yesterday from the Florida Family Association, where there's been some $20 billion, I think is the number, that they have dropped in their stock value. I'm saying it couldn't happen to better people. When a store will not allow Christian music to be played, Christmas music to be played, or not allow the clerks to say Merry Christmas to the guest in their store, and then to top it all off, to allow the pedophiles and the perverts and the transsexuals and whatever titles you want to give them, they're going into the ladies' room and the dressing rooms, et cetera, et cetera. That is a stench in the nostrils of God. I think it's time we have legislators, city councilmen, that will take a stand on this issue and foreclose the potentiality of this taking place in any county in the state of Florida. So, Don, I commend you on that. In fact, I will say to our listening audience, if you're passionate about this issue, you're concerned about where we're going with the morals and ethics and values, not only in Duval County, but in our state and on a national level, we need to have local governance. And that local governance, if there's an impasse and an impossibility to pass legislation that will protect our families, then we need to do so at a state level. So I'm delighted to hear Don say that that's one of the things he wants to deal with, is to pass legislation that will close the door. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we've had this in Duval County now for some time, since especially in our schools, since our emperor-in-chief in the White House, by edict, said that we need to have open bathrooms for all of our schools. The open-minded superintendent of education, Duval County superintendent of education, Dr. Vitti, then all of a sudden said, okay, rather than protecting our sons and daughters and grandkids in school, we're going to open the doors, take the doors off, take the hinges off the doors in the bathrooms, the locker rooms, the shower rooms, and allow the perverts, the pedophiles, the transsexuals. And I like this term. Listen, this is such a wicked, wicked, evil twist to it. Sexual perception, whatever that person perceives himself to be, can walk into the bathroom, may wake up that morning and put on his pants, may wake up that morning fully gendered as a male, but then when he passes a lady's shower room, a dressing room, or stall where little girls are in there and women are in there, grandmothers are in there, changing or showering or going to the bathroom, then he perceives that he is female and has the right to walk in. God help us as a people. This is the reason we need to put people like Don Redman in office. We need to elect them to go to Tallahassee, take a stand intervening for us so that we'll have legislators that's willing to have a backbone to take a stand and say, no, we're going to close the bathroom doors. We're going to put locks on the doors by way of legislation that prevents the pedophiles and the sodomites from going in and putting our ladies and grandmothers and daughters and granddaughters in harm's way. So, Don, I commend you on that. I'm delighted to hear that that's one of the things you'd want to do. And by the way, I understand that we have, in the state of Florida, we have not passed a law yet as far as final legislation that would say no to any funding of Planned Parenthood. What do you stand on an issue like that? Do you think that's the right journey to take, the right pathway? What should we do?
Well, I feel like Planned Parenthood is such a so deep into killing babies, and I don't think they need any government funding of any kind. I would propose legislation not to fund Planned Parenthood. I don't think our tax dollars should be going to for abortions and killing babies and ruining lives.
We have murdered 55 million plus human beings.
We have, and they're a big part of it.
On the national, international plane, perhaps the most vulnerable position for a human being to be in is in the mother's womb. cannot fend for themselves, cannot defend themselves. And we have the idiocy, if I can use that Youngblood vernacular, the idiocy in America today that says that that baby is in the womb is not a human being, and therefore we can murder that child. And so I am delighted to hear Don Redmond, that's with us at the microphone today, running for House seat District 12, state legislator, legislative position. I'm delighted to hear him say that we ought not spend taxpayers' dollars to fund murder by way of abortion. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what denomination you may be. It makes no difference your preference, whether it is pro-choice or pro-life. It's inconsequential to me. It is a matter of what the Word of God says. And God's Word says it's murder. And God's Word says we ought not to commit murder. And I don't care where you come from. It doesn't make any difference to me your background or whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent or no party affiliation. That's inconsequential. We should recognize and try to place in office men and women that's willing to take a stand on biblical and moral issues. And I don't know of any greater moral issue, any greater two moral issues than the one dealing with the open bathroom bill that's needed in Tallahassee so that we can stop this stopgap measure with each county being harassed by the sodomite community and their strong-arm legislative pressure on our city councilmen and our other leadership on a national and statewide level. I'm delighted that Don Redmond, if elected to District Seat 12 in the State House for Tallahassee, is willing to take a stand. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not a popular stand. That's not a stand that most would like to hear. But that's a stand that pleases God. And may I simply say, and this is just Youngblood speaking, that may not be Don Redmond, but from Youngblood's position, I don't care what man thinks. I don't care what he says. I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care what a Democrat says. I don't care what a Republican says. It doesn't make any difference what a denomination says. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. And I believe it's time we get back to the basics in Tallahassee, get back to the basics in city council, get back to the basics in any of our races for candidacies and candidates going into office, get back to the basics of what does the Word of God say. That's what this whole program is about, facing the issues, but doing so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And by the way, it's not a matter of me taking all of the mic time. I am just so excited to see men like Don Redmond running for office and what God can do with someone like that representing you and representing me in Tallahassee. But I want you to have an opportunity. You can call in. You can agree or disagree. That's your prerogative. We're not going to be disagreeable. We may disagree on the issue. But I'd like to hear you call. Like to see you call and ask Don some questions. What do you think ought to be done in Tallahassee? What are some of the things that you're passionate about? What would you like to see accomplished from a Christian businessman, that has a family, but yet's willing to leave the family for 2-3 months out of the year in order to do legislators' business to take care of the needs in the state of Florida? I am delighted. I'm thankful. You can call us at 401-1413. We're interviewing today Don Redmond. He is running for House seat District 12 for the race that I think there's 4 or 5 people in it, notwithstanding that. Don Redmond is a Christian businessman, one willing to take a stand even when it is not popular. Don, tell me something about your position putting an end to what's called sanctuary cities. Now, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I understand there's been some politicians or the political candidates bounding about the fact that some have already designated Jacksonville as a sanctuary city. Listen very carefully. Don't know how to make it any more plain. Jacksonville is not a sanctuary city. Jacksonville, Florida is not a sanctuary city, contrary to what some political candidates are saying. Don's not one of them, and is not in his race at saying that. Notwithstanding that, Don, would you be willing to do something with legislation that would protect the state of Florida to prevent cities from becoming sanctuary cities? If you're for that, what would you do? How would you do it? And what is your stand on that?
Yes, I would take a very strong stand on it. According to the studies that I have done, and I've done a very intensive study on this, and there are seven sanctuary counties in the state of Florida. Duval County is not one of those. You're correct. Most of them are down Miami, Tampa, and that area, South Florida. But we need to do something about that, and we need some legislation. We need to stop that. Allowing illegal people coming from other countries and committing crimes and being harbored in these counties, in these cities, and protected. So, yes, I would definitely take a strong stand on that. And getting back to the Bible, I mean, when I was on the city council and we were going through the issues of the where the homosexuals wanted special rights, the reporters kept coming to me and asking me, "Don, have you changed your mind?" I said, "Has the Bible changed?" The Bible has not changed. Until the Bible changed, God's word hasn't changed. And it is true. And we follow God's word. We can't go wrong. And, you know, they knew where I stand, but they kept coming and asking me.
Well, I've told people, and I pray that that is your position, and based on what you've said down through the years, I know that it is. I tell people when they ask me something, well, what about this, and what about this, or what about that? I say, well, that's not what the Word of God says, and I don't have the authority to change God's Word.
That's right.
And therefore, if I don't have the authority to change it, far be it from me from trying to agree with a position that is in any way antithetical to, thus saith, the Word of God. Don, let's go back and visit an issue that we've touched on, and some folks listening may not fully understand. What is a sanctuary city? What does that mean?
A sanctuary city is just a city that the federal government comes to try to take somebody out of that county or that city that has violated the law. The local government of that city or county would protect them to the point that they would not allow them to be taken away or prosecuted. It's a sanctuary for the criminally minded illegals that are in this country.
We've got mega millions of illegal aliens in America today, and we can thank Barack Hussein Obama and using Donald Trump's term, lying Hillary, for what we find in America in general about the sanctuary cities and about illegal aliens. And one of the things that is sad is to see any city that will house, provide food, clothing, and shelter at taxpayers' expense. For the most part, that's what's happening. So therefore, it is costing the taxpayers in any county. It is costing the taxpayers in any county that or any city that is a sanctuary city. It's costing the taxpayers to provide food, clothing, and shelter for those individuals, isn't it?
That's right. Exactly right.
And if it's costing the taxpayers, that means that our hospitals are loaded with the indigent care. That means that our schools are packed with those students. And as a result of that, Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but that means that the schools, they would have to have bilingual teachers in order to meet the need of those illegal aliens that's coming in and finding sanctuary in a city, that then they put their kids in school, and our taxpayers' dollars go for the extra teachers, the extra funds for the extra bilingual teachers and teacher training just to educate them.
That's exactly right.
And it's all on our nickel.
It's all on our nickel. And, of course, not only those sanctuary cities are we educating children that come here and cannot speak our language and having to hire translators for these children here in Jacksonville. That takes place on a daily basis. I'm on a school advisory committee at Englewood High School, and I have over 50 different languages in Englewood High School. Some of them are just different dialects of different languages, but
God help us.
Yes, and we have to, you know, our tax dollar pays for educating each one of those, and they keep bringing them in.
Well, you see, one of the things that I have advocated for so many years, and I don't know what can be done to modulate or to change that in any way from the state level, but it's my most humble opinion, if you arrive in America, the first thing you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to learn English. Speak the King's English. If you can't speak the King's English, then it should be incumbent upon you as an alien without the English language to find some tutelage somewhere for you to learn the English language or go back to where your language should. Now, that might sound harsh. That might sound unpalatable to many. But it's time that we recognize that we've got borders as a sovereign nation for a purpose.
Yeah, and that's not harsh. I mean, when I was in the service, I went to a lot of different countries. I never thought about the people in those countries having learned my language to
communicate with me.
If I wanted to communicate with them, I had to learn enough of their language to get by.
Absolutely.
And I think that anybody coming to this country should have to do the same thing.
That is my most humble opinion. I agree. And we have some that have pushed for years now to not have English as the main language for America. Pushed to try to dismantle the American system by undermining the language that we use in America. I find it distasteful. Let's go back, Don, also.
And those are the same cities that are pushing for that have the sanctuary cities, yes.
Isn't it amazing?
It is.
One of the things that I wanted to touch on also that I don't know if we tied up the loose end on, we're talking about the LGBT laws. Why is it that we need to have legislation that would prevent special exception LGBT laws in the state of Florida or any other state for that matter? But from the state legislator, would you be willing to introduce legislation that would circumvent the LGBT push for them to have special exceptions?
I certainly would. I mean, I think that everybody has equal rights at this point. I mean, I don't care if you're male, female, or black, or white, or whatever you might be, tall, short, or whatever. We have equal rights. And no, nobody should be discriminated against. And they're not discriminated against. But the thing is, they come along, they want special rights. They want right to take away my freedoms and business and in my personal life.
And now with doing that, what takes place if that type of law is on the books for any state, any county? That means they have special exception rights, notwithstanding the Christian right to run his business. The baker, the candlestick maker, the innkeeper, can be prosecuted if they refuse, based on their conscience, to allow the sodomites to come in and demand something to be bought or services rendered. So it is my opinion and my position that we ought not to do that as a sane, civil, moral, ethical society. So would you be willing to do something in relationship to either co-sponsoring or sponsoring legislation that would once and for all deal with that issue that would protect Christian rights in the state of Florida?
Most certainly. As a Christian, I see some real problems down the road if we don't do that. I would definitely be willing to sponsor or co-sponsor legislation to put an end to the push to take away the citizens of Florida's personal rights by giving other people
special rights. That's right. Absolutely. Well, listen, our time is about gone. I can tell by the music we're about to be cut out of here. Let me say thank you so much, Don Redmond, candidate for District Seat 12 for the legislative position in Tallahassee. Pray for him. Vote for him. Do what you can to hold his hands up that we can put a Christian in that position this year. Thank you so much for listening today. Looking forward to having you join us tomorrow by way of radio at the same time. Thank you, and God bless you this evening.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. and multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.